You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
If people are going to be sitting inside of a confessional booth and nothing but people sitting inside of a confessional booth for 2 hours, something interesting should happen at some point. Am I correct?
One would hope.
But the movie Confessional, not so much. What you get here is, well, first what you get here is this team of rabid reviewers who will watch almost anything. Proof is in the pudding here. We've got Marco.
Hello.
And Adrian.
Hello.
This movie follows a bunch of college students who are all forced is a strong word. One would say more blackmailed into going to a place and showing up in a mysterious confessional booth with a door that locks behind them and with cameras all throughout it, which is where we spend the entirety of the thing. Never clear if this is the same booth with different people at different times or what have you. I mean, it becomes more clear as it goes along, but at first, very unclear. And all of them going, okay, so I'm here, so what do you want? Apparently, two students had died at the college. There was a star athlete and a young filmmaker. And it's kind of a mystery because the filmmaker has never done drugs before, ever been recorded to have any problem with drugs, died of a drug overdose. And the swimmer drowned, which obviously is...
Hey, we all have our bad days. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad day.
You've done a lot of podcasts. You're not good every single podcast. Maybe some days you just don't do the breaststroke so well.
Yes, but I don't have a complete fatal error, as they did. You know, they got the blue screen of death. Why am I going with the computer allegory? There's not even any computers in this movie.
Because you're not a sports guy. Come on.
And they died on the same day.
This starts with a mini text scrawls about who each person is, which, thank God, with all the characters in this, every time someone's on the screen, they say what their name is in the upper left-hand corner, because otherwise it'd be really hard to keep track of the already incredibly hard-to-keep-track-of plot in this movie. So everyone has a relationship to one or both of these two people, and that's given to us right off the bat. So as it goes along, they start, you know, some of them are angry, some of them are sad. There's a lot of different reactions of people. How they're first acting about this so-called blackmail material that some of them deny is even real because they haven't actually been shown it. Others are like, yeah, I know it's real. And what do you want? I'll give you whatever you want. So it unfolds with bit by bit. We learn more and more about these people who are definitely not all in there for even amounts of time. It comes and goes. What the relationship with these people, what the relationship is to each other, and how, if at all, were they involved in the deaths of these two people with some sort of sinister manipulator behind the scenes who sends them messages from time to time and gives them commands of what to say or do. Sounds like it could be interesting, right? Well, you'd be wrong.
Because there's not much good to say about this, so let me just get the good stuff out of the way first. The age-old problem of a young filmmaker is, how do I get a movie made? How do I do it with as maximum creativity and as low a budget as possible and still get it looking good enough that it can get some kind of serious distribution? Directed by Brad Gottfried and written by Jennifer Wolfe, I'm assuming all of these folks are in their early 20s. And they did a smart thing. They said, okay, we don't have a big budget. We basically have one location, which is this very simple but kind of high-tech looking soundproof booth with a monitor in it. There's some mood lighting and, you know, some other screens and things. And the only way you know who's in the booth when, because I got the impression there were seven booths and they were all talking at the same time, there's time code at the top. And as Chris mentioned earlier, you do always get a name and, like, usually some kind of helpful bit of info, like what their major was or what their relation to the deceased was. That's smart. That's good. And good on these guys for getting picked up by Shudder. I mean, they made some festival rounds and then Shudder picked them up. And probably that is as good a scenario as any first-time filmmakers could want. I applaud them for that. But this is just me politely lifting the seat before I piss all over this. Because, you know, like I said, we're going to get the good out of the way first. I thought the time code was clever, because then I started going, oh, wait a minute, these are happening at different times. And then I could start kind of piecing the narrative together.
You should go to Marco's house, like, right after you finish this, there's this whole board with yarn connecting photos.
I see the connections.
Time codes. There's like 20,000 entries on the Reddit page for this movie, and they're all just Marco.
That is, you know. When all the pandemic's over, you can come over and you can see my my yarn board. It's intricate. There's obviously some style and some smarts here, but boy, oh boy, oh boy. This script and these characters, wow.
And it's a shame because it's not like these actors are terrible.
No.
Generally, they're okay. They go the range from okay to, hey, pretty good. But the actual script that they've been given, it's not even a problem with the dialogue not being naturalistic, which it veers wildly all over the place from, like, really stilted 70s soap opera material to pretty good. But the plot is just overwhelmingly complicated in what's happening. And most of these characters don't even really figure into the bigger picture. They're off on some subplot that we discover is a thing halfway through the movie. Even with the names on the top of the screen, it's really hard to keep track of who did what to who.
They're all generic. They're all generic stock characters. You've got, you know, the preppy, bully sort of douchebag who's like so vile, like an obvious sort of red pill MRA kind of moron. And, you know, you've got the tough jock guy, and you've got the girlfriend who's pissed because her boyfriend cheated on her, and you've got the girl who's not so secretly infatuated with another girl and is dealing with her sexuality. And, man, I get why this feels like a hot-button issue, because, you know, genre films always deal with the anxieties of the day, and maybe I'm just aged out of this group. Because, you know, it touches on things like campus suicides, kids who put, you know, their deepest, darkest secrets on the web, or who are documenting every single fucking aspect of their life, and sometimes that shit comes back to haunt them. But as a grown-ass man, I'm just like, man, you're all fucking stupid. I got that text, I'd be like, I'm not fucking going. This bad guy's plot, it consists entirely of knowing that every single one of these kids is going to show up to the confessional booth at the appointed time and actually talk to them.
Adrian, we haven't heard much from you. What is your opinion of this film, you being much younger than the two old near-death critics in the room?
Yeah, as the only 12-year-old on One of Us, I really did not like this movie at all. It's crazy to me that this is a film made by younger people. I think it's awesome that they're getting their movie out there. But none of this feels natural. None of this feels like how kids this age, it doesn't sound like this is how they would talk at all. They all sound like really exaggerated characters to the point where this felt like some kind of indie kind of choose your own adventure type game, like something you would go along with a board game. In fact, I think if you wanted to make this movie into some kind of app that you cycle through and you try to figure out what the mystery is, that would be more fun than the actual film that this is.
Adrian, you nailed it. That's exactly what was, like, I couldn't figure out in my head what was wrong with this, that's what it is, because it should have been that. Like, you watch this and everything about it says, wait, these are just entries in, like, a phone game.
Yeah. This is the most entertaining 2007 Flash game that I've played in a while. But in regards to it as a film, I did not find it working at all. I love a good mystery. And when this movie started, it gives you all the character names. It tells you their major. It tells you how they're related to the two students who died, if they're related at all. Or maybe they're related to other characters. I wrote all that shit down, and it meant nothing at the end. It barely meant anything. Marco was talking about that there's a time code, which, like, at that point, I'm already like, I don't care. It's just going. I'm not going to try to figure out what's going on, because, like, I don't think the movie really cares about the clues it's giving you, because at the end, it ends up, I'm not going to spoil, obviously, but it ends up being about something else, and it ends up being about something that you're either going to figure out just because of how the person's acting, or it's just going to become obvious maybe like halfway through how it relates to the two kids who got killed. This was hard to watch entirely based off the dialogue. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. You obviously have a frog in your throat from being so upset about thinking about how emotionally this movie affected you, which was largely, am I trapped watching this? Is it ever going to end? Am I in hell?
I'll tell you what, the confessional booth, that's a nice booth. I would love to record this review
sweet confessional
in there.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it would have great acoustics, it looked comfy, it has some nice lighting.
So, yeah, you couldn't hear the thunder and lightning destroying the world outside as we record.
Yeah, it's a mix of like 2007 choose-your-own-adventure flash game and like trashy MTV reality show with the way this is set up.
That's the thing. The real world, or like people would like get up to shenanigans and then they like they get real in a booth and like, I don't care about these vapid fucking people. It also doesn't help that, honestly, like 15 minutes in, I already figured out who the killer was.
Yeah, anybody who's got any sort of experience with mysteries, it doesn't take long to do the mental math to figure out the only person it could be.
Yeah, we should say that this is not a particularly gory film. It's trying to be more suspenseful and not really interested in, like, you know, violence or gore. It's very cerebral. It's all people in a booth talking to a camera. Again, intellectually, an interesting concept, but in execution, rather lacking, because every genre movie at some point has one or two things that, you know, the filmmaker says, look, just accept this, okay? Accept this, because if you don't, the rest of the movie doesn't work. And if you get that buy-in from me, then I'm going to go along for the ride. All right, I accept. It's a world where dinosaurs have come back to life. Makes no sense, but sure. For the purpose of enjoying the movie, yes, this is a world where magic exists. That's fine. I never believed that this one individual could build this booth, orchestrate all of this video technology, get all of these people to agree to show up at the appointed times and reveal the things that they are expected to reveal.
Sadly, the worst actor in here is the one who ends up being the confessional person, who is so unconvincing that you keep expecting them to break up laughing, delivering their terrible fucking dialogue they've been given. I think they may be a fine actor, but they are given the worst dialogue of anybody in this thing. It's embarrassing how badly
they have to play it. You know,
there's no one to play off of.
No.
It's all in the edit. So there's no way to even play this for laughs, unfortunately. You don't even have props. You're stuck just reading dialogue into a camera. It's not a very imaginative setup. I get it. It's expensive to make a movie, but shit, man, if this is all you can afford, maybe you should work a little harder on the script.
Yeah.
The movie also just asks so much of you. One thing that I think we didn't mention is the fact that you're supposed to be watching a movie that one of the characters possibly made. Or someone, some mysterious character.
Well, yeah, it says whoever made this, we still haven't found them in the beginning.
It gets super fucking meta at some point.
So not just are you under the perception that like, oh, I'm kind of watching like a found footage type thing. The movie itself is full of so much exposition and it'll go from confession to a shot of black screen with text, and then the black screen with text starts to have a personality. None of it is fun, none of it is stylistic, none of it is like entertaining. It all seems so, let's try to throw everything semi-stylish that we have against the wall and see what sticks, and none of it does.
All of those textual interjections should have been read by Ron Howard. That would have made this entertaining.
Agreed. And someone should totally... Who can do a good Ron Howard impression?
I'm telling you the truth, black text. She didn't.
She didn't, exactly. Everyone in here has been in some other things, even if it's just a reoccurring role on a soap opera. But there is going to be some appeal to a more youthful crowd who might be following these shows that these people have appeared on. But I think for anybody who's even vaguely an adult and has any experience in film, this is not something you're going to want to waste your time with. It is really dull. But let's go to final thoughts. Adrian, I would like to hear your final thought.
hey, man, Marco mentioned that there's no gore in this movie, which is true, and you would think maybe at some point there will be, because it says, uh-oh, you didn't tell the truth, now you gotta face the consequences. And there's really none. Not bad enough to be entertaining. It's just really dull. I don't want to blame the actors. I think the script is just horrendous. I blame the dialogue more than anything. Overall, I was thinking, okay, this is pretty bad, but it's not offensive. But then the script decides to take real-world issues and bring it into the climax of the film to try to make a message, and I feel like it failed on all cylinders to the point where them bringing in these real-world issues that are fucked up, it makes it just seem exploitative, kind of like in Remember Me when they bring in 9/11 out of nowhere.
Can I interrupt you just for a second and say, I remember back when I was on Spill.com, we reviewed Remember Me, and we were like, this is just a crappy romantic drama, until it played that card at the end, and you were like, fuck this movie till the end of time. And I was like, no one is ever going to watch this movie. And now, like, every single one of you motherfuckers has watched this movie. You use it as a calling card of like, the ultimate badness for this sort of thing as a last-minute twist.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we told you not to watch that movie! Why did you watch it?
There's really nothing going for this. And at the end, it just ends up coming off as offensively bad. I give this one blood-soaked cigarette out of 5.
Marco?
I said the few good things I could about this movie. I do try. I didn't actively hate it. I just really wasn't blown away by it. I wasn't excited. I didn't have any fun with it. It just kind of felt like a slog to get through. And, you know, part of that problem is the actress they cast as the dead girl, who we're told constantly is this sort of artist that everybody's kind of has this charisma. Everyone's fascinated by her. They all tell her secrets. But when we see her show up on screen, she's as dull as dishwater. I don't believe for a second anybody confessed their deepest, darkest shit to this person. You know, I also don't believe that anybody would go to their film and video studies professor and go, I'm going to have, for my project, I'm going to videotape people and ask them, you know, what they're really like and what's the worst thing they've ever done. That's not an original idea. You'd be laughed out of the fucking film school, I'm convinced. Yeah.
That was my first reaction to, was like, oh, film, are you kidding?
Yeah, but this film wants you to believe that's like some heavy, deep concept that nobody's ever had before. It's like, look, your lives aren't that interesting. Nice set, a good way to make use out of a small budget, but as Chris said, if you've got very limited means, then you need a really tight script to compensate for all the other deficiencies in your story. And they didn't have it here. I knew the killer 15 minutes in. None of the characters are particularly likable. And by the end, when they have the twist, you're like, I'm so over this. And then it goes meta on you. And I'm like, you are trying so hard to make me think you're smart. And maybe you are smart, but your movie isn't. And don't even get me started on the muddled sexual politics of this movie. Because we haven't even gotten into co-ed Fight Club.
When they introduce that aspect of the film, I'm like, okay, movie.
Yeah. Or like Aiden was saying, you know, about it being like a flash game. For like the first 10, 15 minutes, they were talking about CFB. I'm like, what the fuck is CFB? Is that something kids today know about and I don't? It's like, no, CFB stands for cockfighting back. That is the level of imagination that these screenwriters have come up with.
Which is supposed to be a reference to Pussy Grabs Back, which is another just lame, let's try to relate this to real life and fail at it.
Someone was pressing enough to realize they have to embarrassingly give some exposition that's what it is a reference to. Yes. In the script, which is so awkward because you're like, this is not organic at all.
If you have Shudder, you have so many more good movies to choose from.
So many.
I applaud these guys for getting their movie made. Obviously, Shudder saw something in this and thought, hey, we pick this up for a good price. You know, a few people will like it. These are promising filmmakers. Maybe, you know, their next project will be better. I certainly hope so. There's a reason why sometimes nobody should see your first movie. I have to give this 2 out of 10 shitty video cameras. I can't even be inspired to think of something clever.
I wish this was this guy's first thing he directed ever, or even first movie. He did a movie called Orgies and the Meaning of Life, and a movie called The Movie Hero. I don't know what that's about. This is terrible. It is so boring. Holy crap, is this boring. Like, I had to stop it and get up and walk around and rub my eyes. It was like early in the day when I watched it. That's the level of dull. Now, maybe if you're one of those people who love reality shows and love shows with confessional booths and young, arguably attractive people, it's hard for me to tell anymore. I'm 50. I don't know what to tell you. Are these attractive? I mean, I feel like we're all supposed to be like in the Fifth Element now, so I don't even know. I don't blame the actors. They're doing their best. There are a couple here that might genuinely be bad actors, but it's hard to tell given the material is so across the board pretty bad. There's a couple people who rise way above the material that I give points to, and for those people, I am going to award this 1 out of 10 dangerous glory holes.
Oh, that was the one I was going to go with.
I was like, someone's got to grab it, right? Because there's nothing else in this movie. Like, Adrian grabbed the bloody cigarette, I'm like, or bloody joint, and I was like, well, that's it. There's nothing else to grab here that's not blatantly obvious. It's got to be dangerous glory holes.
See, that tells you how little impact this movie made, because as soon as it ended, I thought, that's what I'm leading with. A few hours later, I've already forgotten it.
If you do end up watching this and maybe even enjoying it, might I suggest Night Trap for the Sega Genesis, which is the same level of production, I would say.
Holy crap. Which is widely regarded as one of the worst games ever made. That tells you something about the quality of this film.